Ephesians 5:5-14. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. But it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. During the European intellectual movement called Enlightenment of the 17th and 18th centuries, the use and celebration of reason, the power by which humans understand the universe and improve their own condition, was central. And look at the name, Enlightenment. Well, the goals of a rational humanity were considered to be knowledge, freedom, and happiness. However, the fruits of that enlightenment were not exactly enlightening. They plunged the Western educational system into atheism and the churches into liberalism. That was what happened before the enlightenment. We see darkness all around us, but this is not the end of the world. It is a great opportunity for children of light to shine. I need to be just. The Enlightenment brought some good consequences like freedom, democracy, things like that. This is good. But when we think of theology, that was really a darkening process in churches in general. But we are children of light, so we need to shine in this dark society. And children of light forms a formidable contrast with sons of disobedience and sons of wrath in Ephesians 2, verses 2 and 3. It indicates that believers come from light. And Paul said that God the Father has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. This is in Colossians 1:13. Their lives resemble that of Christ, who is called the light of the world, in John 8, verse 12. Christ is light in the sense that he reveals the knowledge of God in himself. Thus, he brings light to his actions, indicating the path as example to be followed. At the same time, Christ is light because he shows the wrong things that are hidden by darkness. Interestingly, those who do something wrong, they prefer to act in the dark, in secret. The light of Christ shows all that is hidden in darkness. Hence, the Pharisees and scribes hated Jesus, for the holy works of Christ denounced their error. That's why they hated him. If we are children of God, we are also children of light, because God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. This is in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Jesus said that those who follow him are also the light of the world. Brothers and sisters, we are the light of the world because we follow Jesus. This is in Matthew 5:14. They are children of light. We are children of light. And to be a child of light is to proceed from Christ, is to be born of God. Therefore, the children of light cannot live by doing wrong things. His language is different. His actions are different as well. The children of light don't mind if their actions will be observed, as their lives are always like an open book. They have nothing to hide from others. They don't mind what men will see, because they are concerned about their character, which is always on display before Christ. They are concerned with this, with their hearts. The true light, Jesus is the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. This is in John 1:9. So children of light love God, and they obey His commandments. That's why they are children of light. They also love their neighbors, which can be seen in acts of mercy and compassion. But it was not the reality of the believers in the past. Paul says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." This is in verse 8. "They were once darkness," as Paul said. "They were dead in their trespasses and sins. They were sons of disobedience. They were children of wrath." This was their past. But their present was different. Once Paul uses the past tense "were," because their past was plunged in darkness, but was not existing anymore. That's why Paul used the past tense "were." You were darkness, but now it's different. So there's no darkness in you at all because of the grace of God. If we pursue holiness, if we obey God's commandments, so we are walking in the light and not in darkness. This was wonderful for them to hear, because being in darkness is really a bad thing, and they were not in darkness anymore. According to John MacArthur Jr., there are four characteristics of spiritual darkness. First, it is the work of Satan. Second, it is domain of Satan, because the unbeliever is under the dominion of Satan and thus his evil will. That's why they are under Satan's dominion. So Satan is called the power of darkness in Luke 22:53. And Paul says that we fight against the rulers of darkness in Ephesians 6:12-3. Spiritual darkness brings God's penalty, as Paul said in verse 6. "For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." And fourth, spiritual darkness is a horrible thing because it leads to the ultimate destiny of eternal darkness. Those who live according to a dark and ungodly way of life will have as destiny the outer darkness. This is horrible. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, according to Matthew 8:12. So this was their past. They were in darkness, and this is really bad. But now, the present time of the believers in Ephesus was different, according to Paul's words. They were different from the world in darkness. The reason why the children of light are different from the world, but live in holiness to the Lord, is the parenthesis that we see in verse 9. "For the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." The fruit of the light is the result of several decisions Christians make every day. Their decisions must fit a Christian worldview. This Christian worldview works as lenses that help the viewer to read and interpret the world around. Children of light won't see things like the world sees. They will see things in a different way because they're going to use different lenses. So Christian people use the Bible, but the world, people in the world, they see the world around them with lenses of naturalism, for example, that simply doesn't take God into account. They don't see God in creation at all. They don't take God into account to know how nature works. They use the lenses of existentialism as well, which affirms that we have control over all things. We justify our existence by existence by making decisions, no matter what. Can you see how the ethical system that results from this worldview is opposed to the Bible? We need to decide things according to the Bible. If you do something that's not based on the Bible, so this is a sinful thing. But according to existentialism, that doesn't matter. According to this worldly way of living, you can do whatever you want because God doesn't exist, according to them. So there is no judgment. There is no rule. There is no true or false. It is all subjective and dependent on our personal perspective, they believe. These lenses only show what gives pleasure and satisfies the human desire for autonomy, but lead to hell. For those who do their own will instead of God's will are sinning. They are sinning all the time and will be condemned by the holy judge. The light they will see is that of fire in hell. Children of light must live differently from the world because they have a biblical worldview. They use the lenses of all goodness and righteousness and truth. They cannot walk in darkness and ignorance because they were born from light. Light means both knowledge of God and holiness as well. The fruit of light is very evident in the children of light. Let's consider each of the lenses of the Christian worldview according to this passage so that we may see, understand what's going on here in this passage. First, goodness. Goodness. The Bible says all goodness. All goodness is a very generic expression in this verse, verse 9, as opposed to the expression all malice in Ephesians 4:31. Such goodness is the spiritual and moral excellence created by the Holy Spirit in the believer's heart. A Christian is good to his fellows and does not wish them any harm. They are good in this sense. We know that we are sinners, but we have God's goodness because of the work of the Holy Spirit in us. That's why a true Christian won't harm other people. In the context of the passage, which includes sexual immorality, the child of light does not look upon his neighbor with impure intentions. He does not see in others an opportunity for sinful satisfaction of his sexual desires. Second, righteousness. This is another way of defining goodness. Righteousness here is the joy of doing the right things the right way in God's sight. Walking right path without ever straying from it. This is righteousness according to this passage. So righteousness is the path of obedience, the quest for godliness or piety. As John Calvin wrote, God has prescribed for us a way in which he will be glorified by us, namely piety, which consists in the obedience of his word. He that exceeds these bounds does not go about to honor God, but rather to dishonor him. End of quotation. Obedience, brothers and sisters, is the mother of godliness and righteousness. But there's another important definition here, truth. This is a different way of talking about righteousness and goodness. It's all related, but truth here means integrity, reliability, which triumphs over fraud, lies, falsehood, and hypocrisy that characterize the old man. So truth opposed to falsehood. Truth proceeds from Jesus, for Jesus is the truth, the life, and the way. Do you remember that? And then he said, no one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus is the truth. Truth doesn't make up the way. Truth reveals the abyss that is right at the end of a sinful life. So those who are going through the path of sin, they're going to the abyss. So we must walk as children of light by producing the fruit proper to children of light. goodness, righteousness, and truth. This is expected of us, that we are different from the world. Even the world expects us to be different from them, from people outside. When a Christian does something wrong in his job, people will say, well, he's a Christian, so he's not working as a Christian right now. Because they expect us to be righteous. So this is expected of us, that we are different from the world, that we are in the likeness of our Redeemer and Lord Jesus Christ. The verb to walk here, brothers and sisters, can be also understood as to live, to behave in everyday life. Walk as children of light, so live according to this name you have, children of light, according to the light we have from the gospel, from the word of God, from God's laws. So there are two ways to walk as children of light. The positive way that reveals what we should do, and the negative way that reveals what we shouldn't do. The positive way of walking as child of light is declared in verse 10. Finding out what is pleasing to the Lord. And the negative way of walking as children of light is in verse 11. Having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And in the end of verse 11, Paul deals with this negative action in a proactive and purposeful way. He said, but rather expose them. I'm going to explain these things. So let's look at these two ways to walk as children of light in more detail. First, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. The reason why God the Father said at the baptism of Jesus, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This is in Matthew 3:17. The reason is that Jesus Christ always does his will. That's why God said, he is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Christ always obeys God's commandments. Jesus Christ also satisfied God's justice perfectly. That's why God told about him, I am well pleased. God the Father has all his pleasure in Jesus Christ because the Son faithfully responds to the Father's desires and commands. I can say that my children only bring me joy when their behavior corresponds exactly to what I want to them and from them as well. If my children are obedient, grateful, content with what they have, fulfilling their duties with joy and goodwill, being submissive and affectionate, they will only give me joy. I know that it's a long list, but if they do that, oh, I will be well pleased as a father, right? That's right. Similarly, we are God's children. Thus, we must respond to his gracious gifts with obedience, submission, joy, and gratitude. If we live in this way, bearing the fruits of light, then we will always taste what is pleasing to God. The verb finding out here is the same as reaching a conclusion through theory and practice. We know theory, but we need to practice as well. Finding out what is pleasing to God includes knowing his commandments, theory, and living according to them, practice. This would be an experiment confirmed by practical actions. Thus, when we live according to the pattern of goodness, righteousness, and truth, we will know in a very practical way what pleases God. With this mindset in Romans 12, verse 2, Paul said that we prove the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God when we are not conformed to this world. Have you thought of that? Therefore, all Christians are called to a holy life, being under the light of the gospel. We are children of light, brothers and sisters. So let's strive to obey God because this is expected of us. We need to obey God. So be honest in your business. And then you're going to be light in your business. Be holy when reading the news from your computer. Those who are in darkness view inappropriate or evil websites. But those who are in light, walking light, they will check only good and sound websites. Choose movies that fit the light of the gospel. Keep the Lord's Day holy by having sound conversations according to God's interest in His holy day. Children, please obey your parents and be respectful to them, for this is pleasurable to the Lord. Children of light, obey their parents. Respect them. Honor them. Never curse them while alone when they command you to accomplish your chores at home. Some children go obey their parents. Okay, go wash the dishes. They do. They go. But they curse them in their intimate thoughts. Don't do this, because the Lord sees our thoughts. If we are children of God, we need to obey our parents. You need to obey your parents faithfully, gladly, voluntarily. A rebellious child curses his parents because he didn't remember that God's eyes are everywhere. And this procedure doesn't fit the light of the gospel that shines on us and through us. Second, having no fellowship, this is the negative aspect of walking in, as children of light. So, having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. The unfruitful works of darkness mentioned by Paul in verse 11 are in stark contrast to the fruit of light. This means that the light that proceeds from God leads us to do good things and to obey the Lord. Darkness does not produce fruits comparable to goodness, righteousness, and truth. Therefore, the works of darkness are fruitless. The works of darkness are practices such as sexual immorality, impurity, uncleanness, greed, foolish talking, covetousness, coarse jesting, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, stealing, lying, and all sorts of evil. These things are not pleasurable to God and do not match His holy nature. That's why they are called unfruitful works of darkness. So the works of darkness are unfruitful because they do not bring anyone to Christ. They do not produce inner peace. They do not bring satisfaction, and above all, do not glorify God. That's why they are unfruitful. It is interesting to notice that there is no middle ground. In the words of William Hendrickson, there is no twilight zone. And I'm going to quote him, "Works belong either to the light or to darkness," end of quotation. There's no middle ground. There are no shades here. Either the person is whiter than snow, or he is immersed in dark dirt. Either the person is a believer, or he is an unbeliever. Either someone's work is a work of light, or it is a work of darkness. There is no middle ground. Thus, one might think, so should we be as far away as we can from those who do the works of darkness? You see, Jesus did not ask the Father to take us out of the world, but rather to deliver us from evil. There are some people who say, "Oh, I don't like, you know, to deal with ungodly people." Come on. God called us to be light in midst of darkness. I remember the story of a boy who called the pastor and said, "Pastor, please pray for me." And the pastor said, "Why?" And then he said, "Because I'm working in a place, an evil place. No one there is a believer. Oh, I don't want to work there. So please pray that God will give me a new job." And then the pastor said, okay, I'm going to pray for you. And then the pastor prayed, not exactly the way the boy was expecting. And then the pastor prayed, oh Lord, please open this boy's eyes so that he may see that he is in a missionary field, that he needs to share the gospel to those ungodly and not to be apart from them. So be close to them, but to share the gospel, not to be influenced by them. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. So let's think of this. We must be light amidst of darkness. This means that we have a mission to fulfill regarding those who live in darkness. We need to be light. Being light, we will inevitably reprove the works of darkness. When we obey Christ, we automatically expose the works of those who disobey Christ. The TV series The Dinosaurs aired an episode so funny when Oral's son, Robbie, do you remember that TV series? Probably the Gen Z don't remember them. But I remember, I was in starting college at that time. I was 19 years old. There was an episode so interesting when Earl's son, Robbie, was hired to work in the same company, We Say So Corporation. And their job was to push over trees, okay? And they should push over trees all the time. That was their job. Well, while Earl and Roy would push over 3 to 4 trees a day, Robbie developed a new technique, and then he was pushing 10 trees over a day. And then Roy called Robbie and said, Robbie, I appreciate your good job, but please keep the average of 3 to 4 trees a day. Otherwise, you expose Earl and me as bad workers. Similarly, brothers and sisters, when we proceed correctly daily, we expose the wrongdoings of those who walk in darkness. Be a light, brother, in your conversations. Be a light at home. Siblings not shouting at each other, but being lovely to each other. We all must be lights at home, having self-control. We must be light driving, because you have a headlight. Not only that, you have headlights in your car. No, you are a light in the Lord when you respect the laws. Traffic signs. Do not shout at others while driving. We need to control ourselves and be light amidst of this darkness. If you have the opportunity, just let others enter the lane in front of you. What's the problem? What's the problem about that? Well, we need to be light, brothers and sisters. I'm not saying that this message is for me as well. I need to be light as well in many things. All of us. Let's be light. This is the will of God. However, know this. When we expose the works of darkness, either by reproaching them or by a righteous procedure, the result is opposition. Don't think that people in your job will do compliments to you. No. They will hate you. They will hate you. They will call you moralist if you proceed correctly as a child of light, a son of light, as a daughter of light. They will complain on you because of you. They will do that. The reason is that it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. They do, but they don't want to tell everybody that they do. You see? Because even people, ungodly people, they know that they are wrong. That thing is shameful. But many of them have a bad conscience, so their conscience simply says nothing about their evil acts. But there are things that people are so shameful that no one would have the courage to tell even their best friend what they do. I remember that a friend of mine in the seminary, he was telling me, Charles, you have no idea what people do in parties, drinking parties, places like that. They do things I'm ashamed of telling you of that. It's shameful what they do in secret. We must courageously oppose the works of darkness, brothers and sisters. We do not need to expose the ungodly, but we must oppose their ungodly practices and make them manifest through a righteous and holy conduct. So I'm telling you, when the Bible tells us that we must expose them, Bible is not commanding us to do gossip, to tell others other secrets. No, it's not about that. We need to expose their actions as sinful and wrong. But obviously, we cannot expose people. We shouldn't do that. This is not right. But when we proceed correctly, we expose their errors. Their errors will be manifested, and consequently, they will be reproved by the light. This is what Paul teaches when he says in verse 13, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. And finally, brothers and sisters, Paul closes this passage by quoting a text that is not found ipsis literis, or in very words, in scriptures. The same words exactly. No, you cannot find it. Therefore, he says this quotation, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Verse 14. We cannot find this ipsis literis in the Bible, but I firmly believe that this passage quoted by Paul was part of a hymn that was adapted from Isaiah 60, verses 1 and 2. I will read Isaiah 60. It says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. It makes sense. Just as we were dead in our trespasses and sins, as Paul showed in Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3, and God, by his goodness, gave us life. Consequently, we also need to serve as means for God's light to shine on those who are around us and who are also surrounded by darkness. Since we are children of light, brothers and sisters, we must then let our light shine. We cannot isolate ourselves from the world around us. But we must call people to believe the gospel and forsake the unfruitful works of darkness. They need to just leave those unfruitful works of darkness behind. We must function as light reflectors, which receive light and reflect all around. We have received the light of Christ, knowledge, teaching, his example. We must spread this light all around us, for Christ uses our testimony to raise the spiritually dead. He uses our light to bring people to the light of the gospel. It is said that there was once a great fire in Edinburgh, Scotland, and many people tried to evacuate the burning building towards the street, when a thick black cloud of smoke appeared in the main corridor. The group then immediately entered a room that seemed to be in better conditions to keep them safe. Unfortunately, the oxygen in the room was quickly depleted, and the entire group was suffocated. They died. Surely, they would have survived if they had only glimpsed a glimmer of light coming from outside through the thick black cloud of smoke. May our procedure, brothers and sisters, may our witness be that light that will free people from the darkness of condemnation and bring them to Christ. It reminds me of a Bible verse in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, that says, "But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter until the perfect day." Amen.